You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the DragonCon Report, your go-to show for both newbies and seasoned pros gearing up for the annual Downtown Atlanta Convention, with interviews, expert advice, and all the latest updates straight from the dragon's mouth and fans themselves. Stay tuned, you might just uncover something unexpected.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of the 2024 DragonCon Report. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and I'm pleased to introduce you to the rest of our station crew this week. Or Jen is with us, of course, working her magic on either side of the webcam. Howdy, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to...
Feels like we just did this, doesn't it?
Yeah. We are about a week early this month.
Yes, yeah. There was some scheduling things, so we're coming to you a little earlier this month, so I hope you guys don't mind, but there's still some information and some great discussion to be had. Channing is here with us as well. There he is.
Hello. The name is Channing. Remember it.
You know, I didn't think that, you know, it was possible for you being a guest at DragonCon to go to your head, but apparently... Apparently, I was mistaken.
Oh, yeah. It's going all the way. I've already sent them my writer. but no, that line is actually from, I won't spoil it, but from one of my favorite shows. There was a very sad moment. So that's where that line is from. It's my tribute.
I understand. How are things going? You're joining us. We're here a little bit early. So catching everybody off guard a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the people wanted to see us. You know, there goes that going to my head again thing.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have a social life. I had to reschedule.
Hey, it's Fiesta. No judgment.
Next week is Fiesta. I have to go.
That's cool.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
What is that?
2 week long. It's like our version of Mardi Gras, except it's Fiesta.
Gotcha.
You had me at Mardi Gras.
Wow. In a little while, we're going to be joined by some folks that are going to, Julia, Mo, and Andres will tell us about all, give us insights to the volunteer experience at DragonCon. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We definitely want to hear from you guys as well. I'm drawing a complete blank on what I was going to say next. So
That's why we have banners.
That's absolutely why we have banners.
I can put them on.
And that's why we drink.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We are glad to have you join us. We see that there's a bunch of people watching us already. Thank you guys so much. To all our viewers on Facebook and YouTube, please, howdy. There's the audio version is still available as well. So if you are used to listening to the show on all the usual podcasting places, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, there's a bunch of them. I'm not going to name them all. But we're there too. In addition, you can always access past episodes at DragonConReport.com. However you access the show, please like and share, subscribe, spread the word. We love that. It's free to do. We're coming to you free of charge. But if you do want to support us, we do have a Patreon as well.
In fact, we have a brand new offering on our Patreon.
We do.
Just started last month to save everyone's livers when we're all sitting here together live. Now you can decide to drink at your leisure and hear us read the whole guest list for each month special on our Patreon.
Absolutely. You'll find it at the ESO Network Patreon page. We'll have a direct link to that. You can see that right here on the screen and in the audio podcast. We'll have it in the show notes as well. Yes, we will be exclusively reading this month's DragonCon guest announcements, every month.
Yes.
So if you want to go, you know, depending on how much liver damage you want to do, you can go back to past months and listen to them. Makes the perfect drinking game for all ages, depending on what's
no.
depending on what's in your cup.
Yeah, not for all ages.
you know.
I'm going to put a disclaimer. I would suggest you consult your doctor or primary care physician before playing along.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe update those organ donor cards.
But thank you for your support, patrons. We really do appreciate you guys really a lot. And however you're supporting this show, we appreciate you guys. So I do want to mention that if you do want to leave us direct feedback, please send us an email at feedback@dragonconreport.com. You can also reach us via Facebook, Instagram. We love your support. We're available on all those social media outlets. There's some that I think we're still trying to navigate through, but we're definitely on Facebook. We're definitely on Instagram. And also need to point out that we are an unofficial podcast of the con. We are not, never have connected with Dragon Con. For all the official news, we strongly recommend checking out the official site and social media outlets. Okay, all of that said, let's get started with some news and notes. Not a ton of news, but we do want to mention, of course, that Dragon Con is, you know, for those people who are just joining us, Dragon Con is August 29th through September 2nd this year, Labor Day weekend. That's the official dates. Of course, you know, your mileage may vary. 5-day memberships are currently available at $160 until June 14th. Media applications are still open. The deadline for that, I believe, is August 15th.
They just opened.
They just opened. Okay.
Yes, just a few days ago.
Gotcha. They'll be open till August 15th. So if you do want to cover the con from a media perspective, and you can look at what the definition of that is right at the website. They have definite requirements that you have to check off. Is that correct?
Correct. There is quite a... You do have to work.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not just a free badge.
Just like our topic for tonight.
No free rides.
Yeah. Yes. Just like our volunteer topic of tonight, in exchange for a badge as media, you are working. You do get to have fun. But you, when you're on the clock, you're professional. There's a deadline to provide your coverage by after the con. It's about 30 days after con. But yeah, there's a whole list under media resources on the DragonCon website.
Absolutely. And there are some other ways you can still participate. Parade signups are still open. I understand they're almost full. Applications will be reviewed after registration closes. Guest applications are still open as well. May 31st, according to the website. June 15th is what the Comics and Pop Artist Alley area says for guest application deadline. So your mileage may vary there, but if you do want to apply to be a guest, or if you know someone who would be a good guest at Dragon Con, someone that you want to see at Dragon Con, they may try to see if you can make that happen in the next month. Fan table applications are still open. And of course, volunteer applications are still open. We're going to definitely get more into the volunteer experience a little bit later on in the show. But the next volunteer meeting right now is scheduled to be at the Hilton on the 27th of July. I think that's the second and last volunteer meeting.
I believe so, yes. Yeah. And also, they haven't announced it yet, but we should also have the town halls that the con holds every month. Those should be starting up soon as well.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, I would think that does seem to be about now, about springtime that usually starts. So, so hopefully that crew will be there as well, and we can get some more information. Like I said, not a ton of news that came out in the last few weeks since we were last recorded, but we did last time we reported that the Dragon Con invading the Georgia Aquarium VIP tickets were on sale, and they are still on sale. However, VIP tickets are sold out. They went very quickly. I think it was because we were talking about all that free booze.
You got to give the people what they want.
Well, but also, VIPs do tend to, they seem to sell out faster every year, especially since, you know, they changed the way the VIP ballroom was a few years ago, and that improved it significantly. So I think more and more people are just finding out how cool that room is, how much fun it is. So never fear, though, folks. You probably, just like you can sometimes find rooms in a host hotel through the Dragon Con Facebook groups and such, sometimes people have something come up and they have to get rid of some VIP tickets. Unlike a Dragon Con membership, the aquarium tickets are not under a name. They are transferable. Just, you know, always vet the person you're buying from, you know, don't fall for a scam. Yes, we know, especially how those Facebook event pages can be with the random comments. Don't fall for those. Find, you know, vet who you're
buyer
purchasing
beware
from. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're interested in being a panelist, I suggest you start paying attention to your favorite tracks, the ones that you really enjoy. They're probably going to start doing open calls for certain topics, and a lot of them are going to be teasing what the panels will be this year. So they're all kind of spread out. Some are on Facebook, but not on Twitter. Some are on Twitter, but not on Instagram. Find your favorite panels, just follow them, and by all means, they need regular people too. It's not all just celebrities at Dragon Con. If you've got a show that you're a fan of and they've got a panel on it, shoot your shot. If yep. you're a podcasting professional and digital media is doing a podcasting panel, shoot your shot. There's nothing wrong with doing it. Just every track has their own rules, and if worse comes to worse, contact the track directly. You never know.
Indeed. Absolutely. Yeah, I strongly encourage people to get involved with the various tracks. And a lot of times people have ideas. They don't maybe want to participate, but they have ideas for what they would like to see. Track directors love that. Love to have ideas and love to have more and more people participate.
And who knows, if you get on one of these panels one day, maybe you can be a featured guest like some people.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Let's.
Well, we're gonna hear about this every month until we get to con, and then he's gonna just be posting selfies all during con. I think, with his badge.
It's gonna be a bit now. That's the whole thing. And God forbid someone asks me for an autograph. I promise you, I'm going live on TikTok with that one.
Wait, you know how to use TikTok?
Ooh.
I have to keep up with the youth and what they're doing.
All right. A few days ago, our good friend Sven over at the Drunken Dragon Hotel introduced the Drunken Dragon VIP Hoarders Club. So if you are a fan of the Drunken Dragon, bought merch for him before, want to help support him, he has basically started what's like a Patreon membership for the hotel, where for $100, you can get some special DDH perks, such as a membership card holder, free shipping for a year in the USA only for merch through the Drunken Dragon, exclusive access to a Horde members only merchandise area, more free swag than he usually sends out. And all of us who have purchased from Drunken Dragon know.
It's crazy how much stuff he gets.
Yeah.
He gives you.
So I can't imagine how much more is going to be squeezed in there. And he has it. It's just being teased so far, but he's got a lot of fantastic swag lined up for the year. But you signing up basically helps him finance a good chunk of the things he wants to produce throughout the year. He is going to be opening up for the store to everybody for the current year's merchandise that he's been working on. I know he's going to have a bunch more Fallout stuff in there. And it'll be open in about 2 to 3 weeks with all new products, though he does have a few small things now, like the new Fallout patch. And whether you sign up to the Hoarders Club or not, you're still always going to get the same type of service you have in the past from the Drunken Dragon Hotel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. It's good. I think it's a great thing that he's doing. And I think, a lot of people are going to jump on this because, as you pointed out, I mean, even under normal circuit, like when you just buy anything from him, you get so much.
Yeah,
I mean, right. You know, supporting him in this way, the things that he mentions, the benefits are probably not even half.
And as a rock and roll just mentioned in the comments, he's also working on producing some items for our sober friends at Dragon Con this year too, because you do not have to be a drinker to enjoy the merch and the events, even though it's called the Drunken Dragon. So he's right now spitballing some ideas and brainstorming to come out with some merch to include those who enjoy con sober as well.
Awesome. There you go.
Awesome.
The con is for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we do have some guest announcements, a few that we're going to do here, talk about a little bit, in addition to the exclusive reading of all the announcements, all the guest announcements that we're going to do on the Patreon exclusively there. But the Burlesque show headliner, the Glamour Geek Review headliner, has been announced, and it is the one and only Knox Falls. Knox Falls is a gothic international performing artist that calls the Pacific Northwest home, amassing multiple awards with their career ranging from Best Costume, Most Fierce, and Queen. Using burlesque and slam-esque as a primary medium, they have established themselves as a slow-burning doom witch with a niche for nasty, earning recognition from 21st century burlesque and documentaries, magazines, appearing on Netflix originals, headlining multiple burlesque festivals, as well as repeatedly competing in valued events such as Viva Las Vegas and the Burlesque Hall of Fame. So welcome to the show, Knox Falls. I definitely encourage folks who are interested to check out the Instagram account for the Dragon Con Burlesque group, as well as I think we posted as well. We sort of shared it as well and reposted it, but Knox has got quite a look, and yeah, it's going to be fun to have them at the show. Yeah, and that's just the start.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Dragon Con Burlesque for more than the obvious reasons. They always put on a good and very inclusive show. Another person I'm a fan of is Dean's List, a.k.a. Walter Dean. He makes some amazing cosplays. He does some good ones on his own too, but he does a lot of commissions for people. He's known by a lot of people at Dragon Con, and you may have seen him. He was featured on Being Marvel. He worked on some costumes, some Dora Milaje inspired cosplays. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him and what he's bringing, not only for himself, but for other people. One year when I get my money right, yeah, I'm gonna have him whip up something for me, preferably something with muscles. I'm just not sure what that's going to be yet. And then for me, comic greatness is going to be there. Don McGregor, when the Black Panther series started, he was the first writer on that. So for me, that's a good one, and I'm very excited to go and get to see him and maybe even get an autograph from him.
Awesome. Awesome. There are some, speaking of which, there's a few other, they made a lot of comic announcements, comic related guest announcements in over the past couple of weeks, and some big names that I'm excited about too. Jim Shooter, who was editor in chief of Marvel for, I don't know, it felt like 20 years or so in the 80s, 70s and 80s era. He's responsible for the Secret Wars, a big miniseries that came out, as well as a lot of great stuff. Also, Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, who I like to call the first couple of comics right now. They are great fun, very talented, and they do, in addition to all the work they've done on Harley Quinn, as well as a lot of other fun books, they also do a lot of independent books themselves with their company called Paper Films, and they're at the forefront. Their Kickstarters or crowdfunding always sells out, and they're fun to have at shows. And it's been a long time since I think they've been to Dragon Con, so it's good to have them back. And here's someone that comes back all the time, but I don't think people take advantage or at least seek him out as much. Maybe they sort of, you know, think he's always going to be around. But Don Rosa, who did a lot of work with Disney Comics, Uncle Scrooge, and a lot of the Disney books that you grew up with were done by Don Rosa. And, you know, unfortunately, he's one of those creators that's not getting any younger. So I would say, like, if you enjoyed Disney books as a kid, or if you introducing your children to them, seek out Don Rosa. And he's a great guy. He's a great ambassador for comics, especially kids comics and Disney comics. And thank him and take advantage of meeting him now, because unfortunately, you know, I hate to I don't mean to be a downer, but it seems like over the last couple of weeks we've lost a lot of comic people. A lot of great comic talents, contemporaries of mine, as well as, older legends. And it just reminded me that, you know, a lot of these people aren't going to be around. So if you can take the time to see them at shows, do so. And I just really also wanted to point out to you that our good friend Darren Bush, who is also, in addition to being a award-winning author, he's also is an active participant in a lot of panels and a lot of cons. He's a track director at Monsterama along with myself. He's a great guy to work with, and we have a lot of fun doing panels together. So he's gonna be back at DragonCon this year. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And also another friend of the show here, our buddy Nemesis, DJ Nemesis, is officially been announced for Con. Our Cult of the Con DJs is getting ready to get everybody hyped and excited for this year's Con. We'll probably be chatting with him before Con starts and they have a better idea what all they're going to be doing. We might be joining forces again with the DJs over at the parties group to do another Wednesday kickoff party, but we shall see.
Awesome.
And we're going to take a quick break here, folks. For those of you who are listening to the audio version, for those of you watching us live, you're just going to see us be weird on camera here for a second. And we'll be right back.
Nothing new.
Yeah, we'll be right back to discuss this month's topic of the evening.
We cordially invite you to experience the Soulforge podcast.
On Soulforge, we chat about movies, books, and pop culture.
Sex, love, and dating.
Travel and adventure.
Mental health issues.
We have interviews with musicians, authors, entrepreneurs, and other random weirdos. Join Sean
and Leah
and the occasional animal interruption on the Soulforge podcast.
Be a better human with the Soulforge podcast.
Check out the Modern Musicology podcast, where each week we talk about things like
what makes a great drummer,
our favorite rock documentaries,
songs we love by artists we don't love,
our favorite concert memories,
songs that should have been singles,
and all of our favorite music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now.
Do not use Modern Musicology if you're allergic to it. Modern Musicology may produce itching, dizziness, vertigo, temporary blindness, or heart palpitations. Do not taunt Modern Musicology.
Ask your doctor about switching to Modern Musicology.
All right, now it's time to talk all about the volunteer experience. And we've got some fun guests to join us. I guess if we can bring those folks in now, starting with Julia. Howdy, Julia.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right. I believe we've also got Mo and Andres, right, to joining us as well.
There's Mo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Howdy, guys. And I know you guys all have different and unique experiences, and I want to try to get to as much of those as possible. We want to talk to you guys about the volunteer experience. Julia, we'll start with you. Let's start with your first DragonCon experience. How did you discover DragonCon? What was your first DragonCon experience like?
My first DragonCon experience was with Jen, that lady right down the screen.
She's to blame, huh?
Totally the one to blame. But yeah, no, she bamboozled me into coming to Atlanta in the middle of a hot, hot summer. And yeah, my mind got blown. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm hooked. Bring me back. How do I jump into this gang? Is basically and yeah, that was it. All down here. I was just like, take my.
Had you been to other conventions before or?
You know what's funny? No. And okay. Bad is that Jen actually took me to another con like a couple months after, and I was like, ouch. These are so sad. I was like, wow, people need to experience the Dragon Con. But then again, I'm a little jaded because I like it, you know, I like it for myself. So
understandable. What would you say makes Dragon Con special in your mind?
It is so freaking inclusive. Oh my gosh, like so inclusive, no judgment. The costumes are off the chain. I mean, even like the intro level, like cardboard costumes, all the way up to like the super, super, super intricate costumes. Everybody is super supportive. Just a lot of positivity. I mean, I've heard of people having negative experiences there, but I've never witnessed it myself, nor have I experienced it myself. But just like this kind of weird, bizarre international community. I mean, I've gone there. I don't even know how many years I've gone there now. I know it's over 5, but I have made so many friends like across the pond and, you know, in Minnesota. I mean, I'm from Texas. So, you know, I mean, just random weird friends that I've just, you know, bonded with on just sheer geekness that I was like, I'm not alone and there's no judgment. So that's what I love about it. So.
And when did you make the decision? I love this so much. I want to participate. I want to volunteer.
Well, I made it 2 years ago and I was like, you know what? I should support this cause. So I jumped into information and I had no information. And I was very honest with people that I was definitely lacking information. Because I'll be honest, the majority of my information was at 2 o'clock in the morning after, you know, quite a few buckets. So that's what my information was based on. I just wanted to meet more people. And I decided, you know, volunteering was the best way to do it. Volunteering was the best way to get to know the history behind DragonCon and who does it and what makes it so special. So that's kind of what snagged me, got into information, met a lot of amazing, amazing, great people once again from all over the world. And yeah, have been signing up every year. Like, yeah, put me in the booth. I will give misinformation. I know what bathrooms are.
It's like a scavenger hunt when you give them the info.
Or to be fair, I will also randomly get texts in the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Over like, Jen, where is this? What time does this happen at?
I know where the glue guns are.
Hey, yeah. Part of it is just knowing who to talk to, right? Who to get the information from, right?
Oh, totally.
That's true.
So,
And that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I definitely want to get more into some of the frequent questions that you get and all that. But I want to start. I want to go to the next. Andres, what about you? What was your first DragonCon experience like?
My first DragonCon experience, I believe 16 years old. I was in high school with some friends of mine. We decided to go downtown to see what it was about. We'd been going to AWA for a long time and said, we're getting older. Let's go see about this DragonCon thing. Let's see what this is about. I remember staying downtown until probably at the time, it felt really late. It was probably 11 p.m. and watching games of Werewolf be played and just watching people continue to party and have a good time. And that would have been at this point almost 20 years ago. So that's depressing to think about.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And when did you make the move to want to be participating in it, to volunteer?
Yeah. So it's actually kind of fell into this. I am friends with a lot of the people that run MomoCon. And so MomoCon needed help one year from a volunteer perspective. And my buddy was called panel logistics, which was essentially gophers for panels, and he needed a vice president of his nascent department. So he brought me in, and the rest is kind of history. After working with MomoCon for several years, I made the transition to also working with DragonCon as the two conventions started to kind of partner up together. And because at the time, the woman who ran moderation for MomoCon also was the director of the animation track at DragonCon, she brought me over as a panel moderator. So I kind of fell into that and knew all the right people to do this really fun and cool thing.
Nice. Nice. And how long has that been going on?
I think my first year volunteering with Dragon might have been 2018. Okay. I got my 5-year badge last year. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. And Mo, how did you get started with the DragonCon experience? I waited till you took a swig first before I thought.
Yeah, no, I was actually, I just, you know, I wanted to go ahead and make this as dramatic as possible. Wanted to make it sound like I was going to regale you with a tale, just a, when there really is actually, DragonCon, I have been attending, I think shortly after I got here to Atlanta. I moved to Atlanta in 06, sometime shortly after that. And saying that out loud and calculating the time just makes my hip hurt so much. But that's how I got actually in the into the con itself. Like, just like, you know, I've been a lifelong geek. And so, you know, someone pointed me to the, hey, here's a convention where you can go and enjoy all of these fun things that you love to do. And you know what? I actually showed up and it was just like, yeah, this is it. This is cool.
And when did you get, why did you know you wanted to be part of it, to volunteer?
Well, actually, so last year was my first fear volunteering. Now, this was, I had been attending for years, and it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? I want to see how the sausage is made. I want to see how actually, like, what goes into the behind the scenes of this, and how do I get myself into that part of it? Because it's great to spec in a way. It's great to be able to go to the con and just be like, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to attend and not have to worry about, you know, logistical things or making sure that this thing is covered. Like, it's always, those are always fun things to do, you know, but I think you can get a greater appreciation of what actually this show is and how much of it is coordinated and how involved it is when you get to look at the behind the scenes stuff, and it grounds you a little bit to the fact that, you know, you are a volunteer. And there are other volunteers. Nobody's getting paid for this. Nobody's, you know, we're all volunteering to do this stuff. So with that being said, for anybody who's watching this and attending, be kind to your volunteers. They are volunteer geeks just like you, and they are volunteers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely encourage. We have nothing but respect for all of the volunteers. And there's so many. I don't know. Jen, do you have any idea on how many volunteers that DragonCon employs, but or utilizes? I think it's in the hundreds. It's got to be, right?
It's got to be in the hundreds.
Yeah. It's got to be way over 100.
Yeah, well, hundreds. Yeah, plural, right? Yeah, and I have nothing but respect for everybody who takes on in any kind of role behind the scenes, because it really, you know, they say it takes a village, you know, to do stuff, but I mean, and I think of DragonCon, it takes a city, you know, it really takes an effort of an army to get things done. Since you're the sort of most recent volunteer experience, what is the experience of just applying to be a volunteer? Like, how easy is that, or difficult is it, or is there like a hazing process involved? Like, is there like how many hoops do you have to jump? I mean, things that you can talk about, sure, you know. Like,
it was grueling. I mean, I think actually I remember being, you know, having to run down through I-85 naked. I think that was one of the things, with a banner, DragonCon banner. That was, I want to say that was probably the most fun, going streaking down the quad was probably choice.
Mo, are you breaking the first rule of volunteer club?
Oh, he is. He totally is.
You know, that's true, but it did make national news. So, I mean, am I really? Come on. No, it actually is a really, in all seriousness, really a smooth process. I went ahead and actually, I obviously had already connections with some of the folks at the con. But went ahead and actually placed in my application. Obviously, there is the one-time fee. And again, it's a one-time fee. You're paying, and then that's it. But, you know, I got to attend some of the volunteer meetings, got to meet some of the other people involved with the convention. And it's just a great experience, great networking, and also great experience, again, to see everyone there. And, it was fairly easy. Like, I think actually I had sent my request via the DragonCon website, and within a couple of days I was getting a response saying, hey, what are you interested in and stuff like that. And they make it easy because they also give you the categories. Not everybody wants to do the same thing, you know, like me personally, I will talk till paint dries off the wall. Like, that's just my talent. But you know, there, you know, maybe you're somebody who is more inclined to being like, hey, you know what, I want to be more behind the scenes, or I like to, you know, I like the audio visual aspect of it, or I want guest services or any of those things. I mean, it's there, and they're always looking for people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if they've ever said, I don't know if there's ever been a time where they turned down, we don't need anybody, we're good. Wow.
We're all full.
2,400 volunteers for DragonCon 2023 last year. That, I believe it. I believe that it could take that many, especially when you figure that there's, I think, 30 tracks, right? And each one of those has a track director and staff of a handful of people. So you multiply that. I mean, that's just that in and of itself. I can't do math, so I don't know exactly what that number looks like, but I know it's big. I know it's big. Andres, but
then you factor in, you got to factor in the behind the scenes thing too, your tech ops.
Absolutely.
The con suite, they've got a pretty sizable amount. It takes a lot to keep Dragon Con running.
Is it pretty easy? Like once you apply as a volunteer, are you applying for a specific like department, or are you sort of? I mean, do you have your choice, or how does that work?
Well, yeah, you can actually. It does actually give you a breakdown. There's a couple of pages you're going through, and it does give you the option to pick which ones. Actually, it gives you a queue to say, hey, you could have a first choice, second choice, third choice. So that way, actually, you know, if you don't get that, hey, I didn't get tech ops, for example, but you know what, I'm cool with doing security, or that's actually something I want to do. Well, you get a couple of options there to work with. So it's not just a, you know, like I said, they give you the options there right up front of what where they're going to need them. They don't necessarily give you like slots, but they tell you, hey, this is, you know, these are the ones that are available. What are you looking for?
And I mentioned, as I said, that, you know, every track has quite a few staff members as well. And getting involved with a particular track and volunteering for a track, that's the same. I mean, you still have to go through the same sort of process to volunteer. Is that true, Andres? Is that what you had to do with for the animation track as well?
Like I said, my whole route was very non-traditional. I'm pretty sure I put in an application and it said the track was full, but my director was like, don't worry about that. Just put your application in and I'll put you in my track. And it all worked out for me. You know, I'm wheeling and dealing the guy in the back alleys. That's how I got in.
Now, Andres, you pulled double duty last year. You were a panel moderator and then you were a panelist for one, weren't you?
That's not the first time that's happened. Actually, the first time it happened, I believe, was 2019. No, it was 2018 was the first time I was given a panel with no description. Like, I didn't know what it was, and I had guests. I had no guests the first time. It was a Rick and Morty fan panel. I thought I just had to sit there and make sure they didn't burn the room down, but I was the only person on the panel. So I got to run a Rick and Morty fan panel that was an absolute, I don't know if we can curse, S show. It's kind of been a tradition since then. So then there was another one the year after called Cartoons That Curse, where I had two voice actors, an animation director and an animator all on the panel. And there was no real description. And we made it up. We did improv. I'm an improv comedian by trade in the past. So we did a whole improv show using everyone's talents. It was remarkable and definitely 18 plus. It was raucous and wonderful.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah. Congratulations. You're running a panel. And I actually made that a tradition. I said, give me one late night panel on Saturday night and don't tell me anything about it. Like, wow. don't prep me, don't brief me, and we'll figure out what happens.
Julia, as far as your experience with volunteering goes, did you ask to be put in with information, or did you have other options, or how was it easy to be where you wanted to be?
Yeah, I think I applied for like 10 different positions.
Okay.
And basically took the first group that responded. And then the funny thing was when I got assigned, I was told I was in another group, and then the other group was like, no, she's with us. And I'm like, just tell me where to go. Just tell me what I need to do. So there were like three groups that were like, no, she's with us. And I'm like, I'll be whatever. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And like Andres said, it was like a total S show for me in my first time, because I didn't know if I was information. I don't know if I was like a piece, you know, per person. I don't know. I don't know if I was doing trash cans. I had no idea. But I did it. I jumped in. Fortunately, got information, and it was fun. So, total bien.
What are some of the wildest questions people come up and have asked you when you've been on show? We know it's happened.
Oh, we I've gotten some very interesting questions. I'll go with like I guess like the top three is where's the bathroom? That's always the top one. I'll be in the Sheridan and they ask where the art gallery is. So I have to redirect them that it's at the Hyatt. And then for whatever reason, the one booth I'm always at right next to the parade sign up. So people come to me to sign up for the parade. And I'm like, no, that's literally 2 feet, like right there, like right next door. So those are the big ones. But the fun part about it is seeing all the newbies, like the people that have their first year, because the first day I volunteer is right at badge pickup. I'm the little information person right there. So getting people like acclimated and advising them like, hey, you're going to walk 17,000 steps. You might want to get out of those kitten heels and put some like, you know, nice Crocs on or something. And, you know, just seeing all the newbies and seeing, like I said, like all the inclusion. So just making sure everyone feels welcome and warm and invited and all the fuzzy feelings, and definitely telling them where the bathrooms are, because I'm a professional of where those are, like even the secret bathrooms.
Love a secret bathroom.
Lots of secret bathrooms. Nice. I even know the alleys where you can pee and there's no cameras.
That's not a secret bathroom. That's just the world.
Let's talk after the show, Julie.
Yeah.
Hey, someone asked me, speaking of bathrooms, and maybe I could ask you since you know, so you're the expert now. Someone asked me if the Marriott or any of the other hotels, the venues still have sort of integrated bathrooms, like co-ed bathrooms.
You know, they did that a couple years ago. That was the big thing. And then last year they made them separate again. But I did notice that, especially at the Marriott and the Hilton, they were more integrated. So they didn't like balk, like whoever, you know, as long as you didn't get sick on the carpet before the bathroom, they didn't really mind. You know, as long as you cleaned yourself up and like, you know, conducted yourself like, you know, a human or, you know, an android releasing your oil in the proper facilities, you were totally fine. But yeah. But I think this year, I mean, I haven't really heard much on the bathroom details, but I have a feeling it's going to be more integrated.
I'm one of those girls that,
you know, when I got to go, I got to go. And if the line is shorter than the boys' bathroom, I am definitely heading over there. I'm just saying. You're going to see me. You're going to see the landlady or the Chonklo Wonder Woman in the boys' bathroom. Don't balk, please, because I got to go.
Every bathroom is gender neutral if you think about it.
Totally.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same philosophy as every pizza is a personal pan pizza, if you believe it. same logic.
As far as any other fun behind the scenes stories, Mo, I can't believe you don't have a few.
Ooh, volunteer stories, you mean? Let's see. Well, no, obviously,
you could have funny non-volunteer.
Oh, funny non-volunteer.
Yeah, it's either. Just at con.
Ooh, gosh, actually, I'm trying to think of anything in that strikes me right now. I feel like every experience I've had at a con, whether negative or positive, it's just been one of those things where I just chalk up to be like, hey, it's kind of like, it's a weird sort of state to be in, where I don't walk into the con anymore think to myself, oh my God, this is going to be insane. I really am like, oh, somebody threw a chair over the, at the Marriott and threw it over the thing. Okay. That's con. That sounds about right. And that was something different.
That was a mess.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I guess I'm, it's sad to say, maybe I'm a bit desensitized. Maybe that's what it is. Just sort of like,
yeah, I was there when the Hyatt still had their pool open and the couch went in the pool.
Yeah.
So yeah, once that happened, and then the chair, it was like, yeah, I hate to say it, but that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Just like for some reason, furniture gets thrown, and people wonder why all the furniture gets moved out of.
Jen, that's why we can't have nice things. That is the reason why we can't have nice things.
Some people, right.
Yeah. There's always some people. We can only sit down at the Hilton.
Right.
Well, actually, next year, I'm going to be renting folding chairs in the lobby of the Marriott. That's going to be my side hustle.
Oh, nice.
So they want to get rid of the chairs. A couple of bucks an hour.
Can I put my... I was thinking about having a booth right next to yours, if you don't mind. It's just going to sell Dr. Scholl's insoles. Can I put mine right next to you? Because
hey, man, it'll be a fun time.
Oh, it is. We're going to make bank. We're going to be like, people are just going to be like, my dogs are barking. Here's a Dr. Scholl.
Here you go.
Yeah. Here you go. And we'll be just raking it in.
Wait, see, there's a product idea for Drunken Dragon Hotel right there. Shoe inserts.
Hey, don't give away Mo's idea.
Oh no, you know what? I love giving ideas to people because I just think actually like that's I am the Don Draper of stuff. I just give ideas out. You do whatever you want with it. You know, actually, the first time I met Julia, I think actually I pitched that idea. That one I'm not going to say anything because that one I'm still trying to work on. But I did tell Julia about one specific idea that I had about something we could do at Dragon Con that's a series that would be really, really cool.
Oh, I didn't forget.
I'm
holding you to it. I've got you. But so, I was going to say, so we're talking about Dr. Scholl's. You know how they did the IV bar last year and like everybody that was super raging hungover felt so much better the next day? It's great. Yeah. Why don't they have like a little like those little massage chairs? You know what I'm saying? Like, well, can we get some masseuses up in there?
I think
like,
they did bring.
I would pay bank.
I think they like, did bring a in a masseuse
person or somebody, like right next to the IV bar in the downstairs of the Marriott or the Hyatt. I mean, come on.
Didn't they do? Didn't they have one day in Volunteer Village where they had somebody doing like 15-minute massage?
Well, if they did, I wasn't there. Or I was working. So
I remember seeing some when they were where they do the blood drive. Like they had a couple of, but I think that might have been associated specifically with the blood drive, but I could be wrong, or at least adjacent to it. Yeah, I do remember that. Somebody had actually posted a comment about the con suite where somebody who worked the con suite was saying, you know, people will come in and be like, hey, can I get a burger? It's like, no, but you can have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We're looking at this, people, we're looking at this the wrong way. We need to rename peanut butter and jelly to a consomme and butter salt and butter thingy. A jelly consomme on just the thinnest bread, you know, baked bread, you know.
Julie got back from a food tour in Spain.
Crepe? Like should we be doing crepes there? Is that what you're talking about? Like
no.
Renaming
a peanut butter and jelly and just actually make it real sound real super fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We call it a peanut butter and jelly reduction. People love that word.
A reduction. There you go.
Or deconstructed.
Reduction is an actual technique. It's you're reducing the liquid until it's a thicker consistency. So jelly in and of itself already is a reduction.
See, so it's not a lie.
So there you go. So yeah, you're not lying.
You're not lying. That's what I'm saying. We're just adding some pizzazz to it, man. Just, you know what? They come in for the popcorn. You tell them that we have this amazing corn that we buttered and baked to perfection, and you sell it like that. We have hotel water that is from the finest cisterns and wells.
It's right. Local artisanal clean pipe water.
Okay, what it is. Water. We're getting off track here.
I do want to sort of take that though because I do want to see what besides for all the work that you guys are doing because it is work that you guys are doing. And we'll start with you, Andres. What are the perks of being a volunteer? What are the perks that you get being a volunteer that some people may not even consider? Like they might not know about or even think about. But you're like, man, since I'm a volunteer, I get to do this, or this happens, or they do provide this, and that's pretty special.
This is going to sound like an interview answer, like, you know, what are your weaknesses? But for me, the biggest benefit of being a volunteer is a kind of an intangible thing. So the entire convention runs on the backs of volunteers, the entire thing. Without volunteers, it doesn't happen. And so, especially in the role that I am in, where I end up being sort of, I call it between the scenes, because the whole point of a panel moderator is not to be featured, it is to feature the talent and to make sure the talent has an opportunity to share incredible stories that they wouldn't have shared previously. So I skip every question about their favorite episode and their favorite person to work with, and dig into like questions about their family and their dog and their life and like who they are as a person. And that the reward for that is monumental. You'll have people come up afterward and say, that was such a fantastic panel. I never knew that about such and such a person. And so I think that any gratitude you ever get to experience is the biggest kind of reward, and is the reason why I kind of in recent years, I've basically come to do my panels and gone home. Like, I love hanging out. I love the partying. I love seeing my friends. I love all the different aspects and the access that I get to the convention and to these celebrities that I'm interviewing. But really, at the end of the day, I'm there to serve, to facilitate the convention. And so that, for me, is the biggest kind of bonus. I know it really probably isn't what you were looking for in terms of, like, You get to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the 10th floor of whichever hotel it is. I've never once made it to Con Suite before.
I haven't. I've seen the door open. I haven't gotten close to it, though.
Never.
I think in my 30 plus years, I think I've been in it once.
And so it is, there's a lot of great benefits insofar as... I don't know. I mean, you get access to the convention at a certain level, but yeah, for me, it is the intrinsic reward of seeing people enjoy their experience and want to come back and want to attend panels, which for me is my favorite part of the convention.
Absolutely, yeah. That's great. That's great, Julia. You want to follow that?
Well, for me, it's the legume and fruit compote on a whole grain cake. That's the total one for me. I love that comment, by the way. Kind of tied in what Andre says, like with information, like I'm there the first day right at badge pickup in the Sheraton, and getting to like share my excitement with newbies coming in that have never experienced Dragon Con or never experienced a con before from my angle, just inviting them and seeing that excitement in their face and showing them the map and teaching them about the skywalks and where to go get food, where to go to the bathroom, you know, complimenting them on their costumes, seeing their creativity, you know, just expressing that, sharing that joy with them. And then also just creating like connections. I mean, like I said, I have created so many freaking connections, around the world at Dragon Con. It's not even funny. I mean, one of my good friends out there, I don't know if he's watching, is Patrick, who's Mr. Klinger. Hello, sir. Or hello, ma'am. Love him. I mean, he's apiary. He's a chef. He, you know, raises bees. He's fantastic. And he dresses like Klinger. Love it. So would have never met him had I not gone to con. And now we're like, you know, year round pals. He's like my sister from another mister. And, you know, same thing. You know, I've got so many friends. I met people in the motorcycle community, the geek community, the banking community, the food community, people that can help me fix my computer, which is amazing. And, you know, just
wait. You have to tell that elevator story.
Which one?
About. So
she's got multiple elevator stories.
No, Julia just got back from Julia's in the, also in the like fancy cheese food business.
I'm a curd nerd.
Yeah. So she just, cheese. Yeah, we all do. we love the cheese. Julia gets us. But she just got back from a food show that she went to in Spain. And there's a company you're talking to that has a headquarters in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they told you about the guy who was staying at the hotel.
Oh, yeah. The Italian dude.
Yeah. Tell that. That's a great story.
So I'm in Spain and I'm not going to mention the company, but they're a food importer that's based out of Atlanta. And a lot of times they have their vendors and suppliers and companies that they work with come to Atlanta. Well, they quote unquote made the mistake of booking this Italian vendor the week of Dragon Con, and they booked him in the Marriott. So the guy is calling because he's running an hour late to his meeting because, you know, the elevators take 45 minutes. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to be running late to my meeting. I'm stuck with like a bunch of Playboy bunnies, a Transformer and a G.I. Joe. And they were like, oh, my gosh, we forgot Dragon Con's happening. Oh, no worries. We'll reschedule the meeting. So he gets down there. He gets in the meeting, has a great food time. And then he goes, by the way, if we can schedule this meeting every year at this time at that hotel, I will not complain. And he said it was like the best event ever because, you know, he's this food guy from Italy. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I walk out of my hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's like, Darth Vader and the stormtroopers are walking by, or the Spartans are walking by, or a bunch of dinosaurs are walking by, or like, you know, and he's like listing all these things. And he's like, I love it. I love it. And so, yeah. So a guy from Italy who deals in basically, I think, jams and jellies. He's probably the, you know, fruit compote guy for the legume sandwiches we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. High end stuff. He loves Dragon Con. So, wow. And I've heard stories of other food vendors from this company that have been quote unquote trapped in Atlanta during Dragon Con unintentionally, intentionally on purpose, wink, wink. So, yeah, it was kind of funny.
So like, that's where some of the rooms are going.
Yeah. First year is an accident. Anything after that, mm-hmm. yeah, they're planning it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally mm-hmm. intentional. I was like, oh yeah, I get it. I get it. So,
I got to say, Playboy Bunny, Transformer, and a G.I. Joe. I think that's part of my dream journal.
Right.
or a joke just waiting for the perfect punchline.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. And don't forget the Italian. The Italian guy.
Oh, yeah. And an Italian guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Is anybody else been stuck in an elevator at Dragon Con?
Yes.
Yes.
How long were you in there?
I've been stuck in one for 35 minutes. I've seen other people be stuck in one for 5 hours.
Okay. That's not my record's 45 minutes, and it was just okay. The one time.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's brutal.
Oh, it was awesome. It's like a capsule episode of a TV show where everyone's true personalities come out. We had two kids and Ava plug suits who were like, can we take these off? These are like, these don't breathe. So they were in there like underclothes. Then there was the one guy who was an antagonist who decided to egg on the woman having a panic attack to make her day worse. You had a full microcosm of humanity trapped in an elevator in Dragon Con. That's pretty wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to say the funnest elevator event was at the, was it the Wyatt? Is that the other one? The other
Hyatt?
Big hotel?
Hyatt?
Yeah, that one. With Michelle, and we were there with some girl. She wasn't a bunny, but she was some girl, and she was about to hurl, and our friend Michelle looked at her and said, if you hurl, I'm going to throat punch you. Wow. And I was like, oh, it's getting serious now. And the girl just like, I'll hold my cookies. And so as soon as we got to the floor, we just kind of like gently guided her / pushed her out. And she found a trash can. But yeah, that was a long, I think we were on the elevator for like 90 minutes. Look, that was a long one.
Our friend would not have actually punched somebody. I just want to throw that out.
but she verbally expresses how she wants to do things. I'm the same way. I mean, we're both Latina, so you know, it's kind of in our blood.
In life, it's not what you will do; it's what you can convince people that you'll
exactly.
Do. So yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get it.
That is true. Exactly.
Yeah. Mo, what about you? What are your big perks of being a volunteer? Even though you haven't been doing this as long as the other folks, you know, what do you find are the big perks?
For me, actually, it's a lot. I will echo everything actually that Andres and Julia said. It's all of those things. The volunteers, for those of you who are snackers, they do have a little area for you to go ahead and actually just get something if you get feel peckish and stuff. You know, I mean, my philosophy is always don't die. That's my first rule of Dragon Con is don't die. So the fact that there is a place where you can go and maybe get a bottle of water, maybe get actually a snack, that is always important because I think actually you can lose yourself in the experience of being at a con and forget all of the other things, like the normal functions, like, you know, eating and bathing and bathing and stuff like that. Like people will do that at a con. So, but going back to your question, for me, one of the most rewarding things was, again, I've enjoyed this con for many years. I feel like I owe this con, you know, for me to give back. And that is actually really important to me, is that I get a chance to give back to a con that's given me enjoyment. And maybe actually for the next person that whether I'm moderating at a panel or whatever, or emceeing an event or something like that, if I'm making the next person who maybe is coming in the door for the first time, making their experience that much better, then that's what I'm there for. That is exactly what I want. I want to be able to lift them up and have them say, you know, build that core memory to be like, you know what, I want to come back to this con. And not necessarily that they're saying, hey, because of this guy, I want to go back to this con because of this energy that I got from this con.
I know a lot of people out there who have gone to con before, they've thought about volunteering and maybe haven't made the jump yet because they think maybe they won't get to enjoy the con, or they're going to have to work too many hours, or it's going to be too stressful. What, you know, there's a lot of reasons people can come up with not to do something. But what would you say to those people who are on the fence and are worried they won't get to experience con the way they like to? Like, you still get to have fun, right? You still get to go
absolutely
to your panels, parties.
You do, but your time, there are more demands of your time. So I will say the way that, like, it's not a free ride to the convention. You are there to work. Like, you are there to provide a service to the convention. So I would say that if you don't feel compelled strongly to do that, I would actually say maybe don't volunteer. If this is a way you like to enjoy the convention, if you like the freedom of being able to go wherever you want, whenever you want, without asking anybody permission, that's fine. Then enjoy the convention. But if you want to volunteer, I think you need to do it with the knowledge and understanding that you're there for a purpose. You're there to make the thing run. And that there will be times when you'll want to make a panel and you'll have to negotiate with six people to cover you while you go to a panel, or to, like, it's a different experience for sure. I don't think it's a negative one. I don't think it's worse. I don't think it's better. I just think it's different. And so, to be really frank, like, if you don't want to, don't do it, I guess.
And actually, I wanted just to piggyback off of what Andres just said right now. That's actually true, because that was part of the reason I've been attending for years. And this past year was the first year I was like, you know, I want to go ahead and do it. Was I mentally prepared before then? A lot of what you said rings true. I was just sort of like, I don't know that I want to. I don't know if I want to commit that time. This is sort of like out of the entirety of the year when I'm, you know, the rest of my life is dedicated to making sure I'm paying bills and stuff like that. This is the one weekend I get to just like completely decide, hey, this is my, for me, there is that piece of it. So yes, I would say actually, you might get to a space where you're like, this is what I want to do. And that's where I am right now. I was in a space where I was like, I've enjoyed it. I do want to see, actually, I want to enjoy it in this other way.
And the other thing too is that when you sign up to volunteer, I mean, yes, there is the benefit. I think if you volunteer, like, I think it's 20, 25 hours, you did get a pass for the next year, which is a nice benefit. But at the same time, if you don't want to take advantage of that, and your time constraint is a little limited, you can volunteer for like a 4-hour shift.
Yeah,
or if you just want to get your feet wet. Yeah. If you want to get your feet wet, you can volunteer for, you know, a couple hours or a day. And there are certain areas that you can go volunteer at that will just take you just for that day. I mean, I would say any assistance or any help or any extra bodies, they're always definitely needed and wanted, whether it's stacking chairs or handing out, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or directing people where to go, or even like the information booth. That one day, that 1 4-hour shift, it's always beneficial. But yeah, there are like other, like, I guess you could say, like, I don't want to say like monetary, but like, yeah, there's the badge thing. There's the village. But then there's like, you know, the side perks, you know, you get to meet a lot of people. Sometimes you get to find out about parties or events that you didn't even know about. You get to find out about panels that aren't highly advertised or whatever promoted. And you get to go see some really, really great, like, funky things. And like I said, meet a lot of amazing people.
Yeah. And the thing is,
yeah, Julia, you're kind of on building on that, and you've kind of talked about it as well, but I'm also kind of curious as to whether or not there's other experiences that you've had because you volunteered that have helped you outside of DragonCon.
Outside of DragonCon? Oh yeah. Like, I've got a friend, Gordy, that does motorcycles. And so I introduced him to another friend of mine that does motorcycles, and he specializes in Triumph motorcycles. So there's like a huge Triumph connection. But then I have a old 66 Ford Fairlane that was having some issues, and he hooked me up with some, you know, car knowledge. And then as far as like costuming goes, there's a couple people that I connected through couture costuming, just individual home seamstresses, you know, costume designers, things like that, that have helped me get over some hurdles with my costumes or my outfits. there's, you know, people outside that I've met in Texas that, you know, when I'm in their area, we'll get together and have dinner or lunch or a couple drinks, and we'll jones out about, you know, getting ready for Dragon Con. Like I said, my friend Patrick, and he's based outside of Atlanta, you know, he's a chef and he raises bees. And so, you know, seeing all of his adventures and, you know, talking to him and talking to him about sewing and all that stuff. So, you know, we've got a friend named Jason out in Florida who's, you know, an app computer whiz. I mean, unbelievable. Then another friend of mine, Frank, who is in Georgia, Alabama, I believe. He's a bank guy. He's in the financing world. I'm in the financing world. I work for a bank. So, you know, we talk about, you know, bank regulations, which are totally boring and totally whatever. But yeah, I mean, outside of con, I've met so many people, and that's just like the tip of the iceberg. So, and then, being con is con, I run into those rando weird people that I love, because they get mad at me because I'm not dressed up in a certain costume that I've worn the last year, the year, 2 years before that they remember, that they oddly keep a picture of me on their phone for. So love that. So yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So definitely the people that it sounds like the people in the community that you, that are there, you can take outside of con as well. And that's an amazing thing. Andres, what about you? Is it the people as well, the experience, the any sort of skills that because you volunteered at Dragon Con, it's helped out with life outside of Dragon Con?
Yeah, for sure. So I doing panel moderation again is a very like delicate art. There's a lot of give and take, there's a lot of discussion that you have to facilitate without becoming the primary focus of the discussion. You have to keep it long, keep it organic, keep it flowing. And so that has strongly helped my facilitation skills, which I use in my day job as well. So my facilitation skills were helped by both improv comedy and by panel moderation. So those two things, and the connections I've made at Dragon Con are typically people I already knew going in. I did meet my ex before my wife at Dragon Con. So like, you know, I got a nice benefit out of Dragon Con. Thank you. But I would say the best benefit I got, besides that sort of feeling of trying to make other people's convention as cool as my first experience at Dragon Con, which is kind of my goal with every panel that I'm moderating, is to make that panel the per, because the people who are in that panel, they're there for a reason. They really care and they really want to see that person speak. And so if I can make their experience of seeing that person speak the best one they've had, that encourages them to come back and to do more and to participate more, and it perpetuates Dragon Con. So the intrinsic reward is, it's been great to have, but also, yeah, in my real life, the facilitation capacity and the ability to speak more competently about things that, I don't know, maybe I don't have the best insight into, but can get there with the help of a person and with enough smoke and mirrors in my approach to words and dialogue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said.
Listen, there are certain
using those skills right now.
Yes, there are some things I'm good at, and talking's one of them. I want to be a voice actor one day, so it pays to interview voice actors.
Excellent. Excellent. Mo, what about you? Are there skills that you've picked up already by volunteering that have helped you outside of Dragon Con?
I think actually it's pretty similar. I've been able to use this opportunity to and sort of been bit by the bug of asking to volunteer. Like Dragon Con's sister con here in Atlanta, MomoCon, is a bit smaller. They are actually, I put in a request to volunteer there as well, just because I had such a good experience with Dragon Con. And, you know, I want to be able to refine those skills. I actually also, was able to also, with those skills, make some connections. There was a convention a couple of months ago here, Atlanta Comic-Con, one of the ones that are owned by, one of the bigger companies that does be mm-hmm. the sort of like the other convention circuit. And I got the call like the night before or a day before saying, hey, are you available this weekend? You know, we are short a couple of moderators. Would you you know, if you're not doing anything, would you want to come over and moderate? And I was just like, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely. I love the opportunity. I love the chance to be able to, like Andres said, just, you know, help with that con experience, that first con experience. And then, you know, I mean, there's obviously some gratification on my side because, again, I'm doing nerdy stuff that I like. I'm talking nerdy stuff. I'm talking to people in the industry or people that are actually adjacent to the industry about nerdy stuff. I mean, there's really no amount of money that you can really a price tag you can put to that. That experience you are able to then go ahead and actually keep with you and also grow from. And hopefully my hope is, yeah, that I can continue to craft, you know, sort of sharpen my craft and be able to, you know, use that to, hey, say if there's any other convention, we need somebody to just be the person here who just hands the ball off to someone else, you know, so they can go ahead and talk about their project and stuff like that. Awesome. Count me in.
You reminded me I have to call somebody at MomoCon about this coming year.
Well, I'm gonna look for you, Andres, so just so you know.
That's fine. I'm pretty noticeable.
Hear to that. That's me too.
Somebody needs to put that on a t-shirt. Just I'm pretty noticeable. Yeah. There you go. Sell that with the foot insoles.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think we're getting ready to wind down. So I definitely appreciate you guys' time and telling us a little bit more about the DragonCon volunteer experience and your experiences with DragonCon. I hope we haven't done anything that's going to get you guys in trouble at all. You guys, I assume, you know, and let us know if you guys are going to be involved this year, planning to be involved this year. Where can people find you? And if you've got anything outside of DragonCon that you want to plug, feel free to do so as well. We'll start with you, Julia.
I'm definitely volunteering again, and I'm back in information. The last couple years, they always had me opening at the Sheridan on badge pickup day, which is always fun because I get to tell them, like, no, this line's for badge, this line's for the store. That store line is crazy ridiculous, yeah. By the way. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I'm usually at one of the other three motels. It's usually the Hyatt, the Marriott, whatever, you know. So, but yeah, you'll find me somewhere. And I'm usually kind of loud. Sometimes I try not to be. I definitely try to be snarky, but I do try to give proper information, not misinformation, but sometimes I will have fun.
I appreciate it. Anything you want to plug outside of the con?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody.
Awesome.
And just like letting my freak flag fly and let my hair down and get a little crazy. So,
Andres, what about you? Thank you so much. Where are you planning to lend your services again this year for the animation track or anything else this year?
Unless they kick me out, I think I'm still on for doing that. So we'll see what happens. I don't think I've been kicked out, but there's still time. I'm leaning towards yes. I waffle every year, and every year I land on yes, and every year that I do say yes, I have a great time and do not regret even the slightest what I did. So,
nice.
And as far as outside of DragonCon?
I don't know. I'm an artist. I have an Instagram, Rook24601. Props if you get that reference, of the numbers at least. Rook with a chess piece, 24601. And I have a Blue Sky where I post things that are not appropriate to post on Instagram because I'm an artist that does all kinds of stuff. So my Blue Sky is at AE-Thomas. It's my first and middle initial -Thomas, my last name, because, you know, if you want to be a professional artist, you just put your name on the smut that you draw.
Awesome. And Mo, what about you? Planning to return this year?
Yeah, actually, I will be there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take advantage of the plug to say that this Thursday coming up, we are going to have actually our town hall. I will be there.
Oh, there you go. That's so right. We were right at the beginning of the show in our right. Speculation.
I was just saving it up for the ending, but yes, 7:30 Thursday town hall. You're going to get to see this face again.
Ooh. Twice in 1 week.
Goodness gracious.
I'm just saying that might take it as a threat. Take it as a promise. Doesn't matter either way. But yeah, you're going to see this face again. We're going to be talking about all upcoming things. with Dragon Con, including actually we're going to touch a little bit on volunteering as well. So, you know, I mean, come in, tune in. It'll be fun. It'll be therapeutic.
We love everybody at Dragon Con and who do the town hall. So we don't mean to steal anybody's thunder. So
but we do like getting a scoop.
We do like getting a scoop, and we do like having you here first.
Yeah.
Anything outside of Dragon Con you want to promote?
No, I'm just your average Afro-Latino cosplayer. Just you know, I like to dress up, so you may find me on Instagram. My Instagram tag is down here.
You might want to spell it or pronounce it for our audio listeners.
Sure, it's Dominican Knight with two Y's on it. Actually, you'll find me pretty much anywhere as Dominican Knight anywhere. You look that up, you're only going to see this face. Again, threat or promise, either way.
He does an excellent Green Lantern, folks.
Oh, stop. You flatter me. But that's the other thing, actually. Yeah, so yes, my plan is to return to Dragon Con and volunteer again this year. And you might see me in costume as well, probably, high likelihood. Yeah, I'm probably going to be in costume.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you for volunteering all of the times that you've done so and you continue to do so. And thanks to everybody else who volunteers and everybody else who's been watching and listening to the show. We really appreciate all of you. And we are now drawing a close to this episode of the 2024 Dragon Con Report. Big shout out to our station crew here. Channing, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Get to meet some new people, see some old friends, have a few laughs.
I mean, we noticed that the head's a little bit bigger. So, you know, we'll see what we can do to whittle that down so we can actually get you in the doorways by the time Dragon Con happens. But where can people find you online, man?
Here's the thing. I'm married. My wife has already started trying to whittle that down. I assure you, by the time I get to Dragon Con, I'll be back to normal levels. I think I went too far when I made a joke about me having groupies at Dragon Con, and I think that was when she decided, okay, we got to shut this down.
Yeah.
You know, lesson learned. Anybody who wants to hear more of this kind of humor, I'm at Channing Sherman on pretty much everything, TikTok, Instagram, and X, for those of you who want to call it that. My group.
Nobody calls it that.
Yeah, you know, I'm just being nice. Elon might be listening. I don't want to make him mad. You can find my group, the Black Geeks of Dragon Con, which I know Mo is very familiar with. Search for us on Facebook. Look for us on Instagram and IG also. My same quote, it is not a protest, it is a party, and Mo will tell you, we have fun, even on our slow years. It's a lot of fun.
Just promoting a little bit. You haven't had a slow year in like 3 years. I don't know what you're talking about. The last 3 years, it just gets bigger and bigger, and not in a bad way. I mean, it actually is just... It has become so. I was happy that I was here. I was there towards the beginning. I actually feel honored that I'm an old school. You know,
yes.
I was there. I could say I was there.
Yeah. Mo's a hipster. He can say he knew about Black Geeks of Dragon Con before it got big.
That's right.
And last thing, I've got my own podcast because everybody has a podcast now. So look for the Smarty Art Brother wherever you get fine or at least semi-decent podcasts.
Awesome. And of course, thank you, Jen, for working your magic on both sides of the webcam.
Yeah, hopefully I'm getting better each month. But
absolutely.
I already know that every episode my eyes are like, this way, this way, this way, this way. And then you hear click, 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 click from my mouse. What he said, I got to get a clickless mouse. But we appreciate you tuning in with us every month, folks. Don't forget that you can find the full monthly guest announcements now on the ESO Patreon under the Dragon Con Report. If you want to hang out with some of the people that like to go to the nighttime parties or the tiki parties or the cigar parties and go see concerts and more, you can also find me as I'm the creator and the one of the admins for the Dragon Con Parties, Meetups, and More group. We have a Facebook page, and we have a Discord. And you can also find me hanging out on the ESO Network.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. We are a proud member of that ESO Network. We have a cool TeePublic store filled with all kinds of swag, including a very cool design for the Dragon Con Report podcast. That logo is awesome, and I love seeing it on different kinds of things. So there's a link for that at the on the ESO Network page, as well as in the show notes if you're listening to this. We also have, as Jen pointed out, a Patreon page. Thank you, patrons, for all your support. We really do appreciate you. Whether you're watching or listening to us, support our show with a like and share. And a subscribe if you're on YouTube. We love that feature as well. If you want to leave us direct feedback, please do so at feedback@DragonConReport.com. You can also reach us individually or as Dragon Con Report on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks to everyone for joining us. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and as always, it's been my pleasure. Take care, stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you all at the con.
So long.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dragon Con Report. Whether you're a longtime fan or joined us for the first time, we hope you've gained some valuable insights and tips to make your DragonCon experience unforgettable. Don't forget to stay connected for more updates and future episodes. Until next time, keep learning, keep planning, and keep the con spirit alive.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.